all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for this Wednesday, February 8th. Another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow, Aaron Zommer, standing by in our studio down in Madison. Coming up this morning, Joe Biden's surprising rope-a-dope. It was one for the ages when it comes to State of the Union speeches, as President Joe Biden welcomed the heckling of rambunctious Republicans before turning their jeers around on them into a public promise that they wouldn't cut vital programs as part of a budget deal. We'll review Biden's speech and the sad, dark vision provided by Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the GOP response. Also, a theme with Republicans in the state legislature, money to punish, never money to help. The Republicans have spent more than a decade starving state government through budget austerity, an intentional tactic to, quote unquote, prove government doesn't work well. Now that it's causing a huge backlog for people who are seeking professional licenses, Republicans have a chance to use allocated money to help the situation, but no, they've decided to spend your tax dollars to audit the program, which is only going to make the backlog worse. We'll explain in our next hour. Also, in our Civic Media homeroom, we'll talk to Todd Alba, whose 8 to 11 show is heard on most of these Civic Media stations. And Melissa Kay from WFHR, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, joins us later this hour. You can join the conversation anytime at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And people say, Pat, and I say, what? They say, what, do you have two phone numbers? Well, you've heard me say a few times that, you know, we talk about all the various shows on all the various Civic Media radio stations, and not every show is on every station. This is a rare exception, which is why I kind of refer to this as the Civic Media homeroom. We all gather here for the first hour of the broadcast day, and then folks in their various radio markets and cities go to various shows, and then sometimes they come back together over Asco's Wisconsin or Dueling Tangents or Dom and Crute as the Devil's Advocates. But anyway, sometimes that means we have more than one show on at a time. And so, for example, the 844-967-2789 one is the one originally set up in the Madison studio for a lot of the shows that start there or out of Waukesha. And then the 715 number is used by Chad Holmes up in Wausau at Bull Falls Radio and right here in the 715, hence 715-388-7155. So that's why we've got the couple of phone numbers. Pick the one that works for you. We are guest free during this hour, so we will have plenty of time to take your calls if you want to talk about things in the State of the Union, other things in the news, other observations, or I'd be very happy to take any calls answering our question of the week over at Up North News, which is all about Valentine's Day and Wisconsin love stories, whether it's how you met, how you got engaged, a truly Wisconsin place where you met or popped the question or got married. We would love to pass on some stuff next week, Tuesday, on Valentine's Day. So head over to Up North News on Facebook, look for the post, and put your answer down below there. A reminder that in-person absentee voting is underway for the February 21st primary election. You can go to myvote.wi.gov to find out how to request your absentee ballot, or go vote in-person absentee at your local clerk's office. The hours vary based on the local clerk. So go to that website, find out who your local clerk is, get in touch, and be sure to vote. It's so important. Let's do sports real quick here at 6:10, and then we'll cover State of the Union matters in our next segment. The Marquette men's basketball team, which last week rose from number 14 in the nation to 10th ranked nationally, fell in Hartford, Connecticut last night, losing to number 21 UConn, 87-72. The Golden Eagles had won 9 of their last 10 games, but they fell behind early and stayed that way in a dominating Husky performance. The loss drops them out of the top of the Big East, half a game behind Xavier. Up next, some easier pickings as they visit the nation's capital on Saturday to take on last place Georgetown. The Badger men's basketball team is at Penn State tonight, tip off at 7:30. Then they are at Nebraska on Saturday. And the Bucks play tomorrow night at the LA Lakers. They are riding an 8-game winning streak. The Lakers, meanwhile, are coming off last night's game, which had a long, happy interruption after LeBron James became the NBA's all-time points leader, surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's total of 38,387 points. LeBron broke the record with a seemingly effortless step-back shot in the third quarter. Kareem was there to hand off a ceremonial basketball to King James during the ceremony that interrupted the game. A nice classy move, given that those two have not always agreed on matters over the years, but put that aside for the good of the game. And so that was last night. The Lakers have the day off, and then they play the Bucks tomorrow night. And then the Bucks stay in LA the very next night, Friday night. They will play the LA Clippers. And then they will be home next Tuesday. That's a Valentine's game to take on the Boston Celtics. So I was watching, and people were saying they wanted LeBron to break the record with a skyhook, much like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was sometimes famous for. But really, the fade back shot, the jumper, was kind of his bread and butter. And it was, as I was looking at the highlights this morning, it seemed only fitting. And for somebody who I recall watching him as a high school prodigy, and everybody said this is the next big thing, and you never really know, but it was the case with Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant, and definitely LeBron James as well. We'll look at the State of the Union, the highs and lows, coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio for a Wednesday. Certainly felt that way watching half of the chamber in the Capitol yesterday during the State of the Union. Details on that coming up in a sec. First, tomorrow, Joe Zepecki, along with our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And I believe she's bringing in Dr. Pat McBride as her guest this week. We talked to him back in November as well. Since that time, I've been able to read his book, The Luckiest Boy in the World. And this is a guy who is a renowned medical expert, especially in the field of public health. He was a mentor to Dr. Lyerly, but before that, he was a kid in the Milwaukee area with parents who were raging alcoholics, both of them well-known reporters and journalists. And he had to overcome a lot of hurdles there to become the first ball boy for the Milwaukee Brewers. He worked in the Packers locker room. He worked in the Bucks locker room for a very long time, which got him interested in being a physical trainer and then going to med school and everything beyond. And he is just an incredibly inspiring person. And I'm really looking forward to talking to him now that I have read the book as well, again, called The Luckiest Boy in the World. So I believe that's what we have coming up Thursday at 7:30 in Dr. Kristen Lyerly's Hometown Health segment. A little reminder here, there are many ways to listen to what we do or watch what we do. You can watch what we do online at the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And that way you can leave us a comment in there as well, or ask any questions about the show. And if you miss a show on the radio, or you want to go back and listen to a show, go to civicmedia.us and then go to the shows page and then click on our show or any show, and you will see a listing of all the recent episodes. And you can just click right there on the page and catch up on an hour you missed or a guest that you want to hear, or click another button right there, and you subscribe to the show as a podcast. Each hour is turned into a podcast episode, which you can also find on Apple and Spotify and all the usual places. So we would love to have you follow along as we carry on these shows through our day. President Joe Biden delivered his State of the Union address. These are speeches that certainly have their political moments. Always have, probably, at least in the television era, but are by and large designed to be an annual coming together of sorts and appreciating what America has done over the past year, laying out the challenges in the future, and then having disagreements about what needs to be done, but it's always been done respectfully. It's been done with a sense of public service, which means being professional and having a sense of decorum. That is not today's Republican Party. And again, I hasten to add, that is not a broad brush to paint every Republican voter and leaning person out there. There are frankly many, many, many everyday Republicans who are just as embarrassed today at the conduct of Republican members of Congress last night. And yet, somehow, President Joe Biden not only welcomed the heckling, but then in a bit of political jujitsu, turned it right around on those very Republicans. In the opening, the theme was all about America's possibilities and working together to find consensus. And that is something that Joe Biden has talked about throughout his Senate career, throughout his time as vice president, and now as president. Again, it seems like so many people have lost sight of this. Talking about being bipartisan, talking about finding agreements and compromises, does not mean you sacrifice your values. You're still a Democrat or a Republican or what have you. But that you understand that to engage in public service means that you work together the way all the rest of us have to do in the real world. But somewhere along the line, maybe it started with, you know, the Newt Gingrich era, I'm not sure, but it became this all or nothing trench warfare for far too many politicians on the right side of the spectrum, where compromise is a sign of weakness. But that's not going to stop President Biden, who talked about signing more than 300 bipartisan bills in the last 2 years. Yes, many of them, you know, relatively minor. We focus on the big things that get, you have to go through Congress, but a whole lot of little things do as well, and they get done with very little rancor. It's very possible to do that. It's very possible to be that way without being a chucklehead, which takes us to a couple of Wisconsin members of Congress, Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden. I'm not going to read their social media posts to you. I'll ask you to take me at my word, because then when you do go look at the kinds of things that they posted, you're going to agree with me. You're going to say, oh my God, these guys are chuckleheads. And they represent Wisconsin in Congress. And I'm just going to leave it at that. If that were the end of the Republican shenanigans, the childishness, that would be one thing. But then to go on like they did, like some of them did, I guess, and heckle the president loudly. And I don't mean in a way like this is the, you know, the British parliament or something, you know, during prime minister's questions and there's a lot of harumphing and whatnot. You know, these were people, most people were looking at Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, who was just looking like she was in the audience of a Jerry Springer show. And Lauren Boebert was the same way. And, some others as well. Yelling things about, you know, you being a liar. Here's the thing, folks, as Joe Biden likes to say, he wasn't lying. Now, he said, I'm not going to name names from up here on the podium and embarrass them. But here's who he was talking about. Ron Johnson and Rick Scott, two Republican senators, Wisconsin and Florida. Those two have been most explicit, and also I should throw Mike Lee from Utah into that mix as well, have been explicit about wanting to bring up some vital programs. We mostly talk about Social Security and Medicare, but there's a whole lot of other programs too, and making it easier to cut them or abolish them altogether, rather than keep them as the earned benefit guaranteed to working Americans that they were set up to be, if only they were funded properly. But Republicans would not even stand and applaud to the funding properly part in terms of cracking down on the millionaire tax cheats that are starving these programs of the resources they would otherwise have if everybody paid their fair share. So Ron Johnson and Rick Scott have certainly talked about, you know, sunsetting these programs, having debates about these programs. And yet when President Biden brought it up, you heard these howls and boos of not true, even though, yeah, it is. And he mentioned that, and the booing continued. And let's see, Aaron, do we have the whole setup, or do we have any of the heckling at the beginning there, or should we cover that a little bit later on? Yeah, let's cover that later on.
I do have a clip of it that includes everything up until his turnaround. I couldn't find that just yet.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear just a little bit so that you hear what's going on here. Sorry, we're just getting queued up. I threw a curveball at Aaron here, and I wanted you to hear a little bit of this, but
that means Congress doesn't vote.
Listen to this.
I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant, but it's being proposed by individuals.
So there it is. And on it went. And here's the rope-a-dope. And for those folks who aren't old enough, the rope-a-dope was a signature move by Muhammad Ali, still the greatest boxer of all time, who would let his opponent, he would put his back against the ropes, and he would let that other opponent just wear himself out punching, and Ali could take the punches, but better yet, he could duck and weave and dive, dip and dodge. Wait, that's a different movie. Anyway, his rope-a-dope was masterful. And then when he came off the ropes and started swinging, the opponent, even though they knew it was coming, didn't know it until it hit them. And that's when Biden turned things around on this rope-a-dope about, you know, them saying, oh, you're lying about us wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. And he looks out and he says, oh, well, we all agree then. Social Security and Medicare are off the table in terms of holding the economy hostage over the debt ceiling debate. And Democrats, of course, you know, leapt to their feet. I think I did, too. I don't know who came up with that. Maybe it was Joe Biden. Maybe it was a speechwriter. Maybe it was Kamala Harris. Maybe it was Ron Klain. I don't know who. But it was genius to get them to howl publicly that they were never going to cut these programs, and get them to say, fine, then let's get this budget deal done. Let's protect the full faith and credit of the United States, not default on obligations that Congress has already done. Congress is already, using the metaphor, they've already swiped the credit card, but now they're refusing to pay the bill. You can argue that future credit card purchases shouldn't be made, but that's not what the debt ceiling debate is about. It's about paying the bill for obligations already incurred. And if you don't do that, you default on your debts. And that's wrong. And as Biden pointed out, three times during the Trump administration, which racked up more debt than any other administration, Republicans in Congress three times raised the debt ceiling without holding the economy hostage. And that's the way it's supposed to be done. The president talked about reindustrializing the heartland, breaking up monopolies, promoting unionization, accelerating the transition to clean energy, reducing healthcare costs, protecting the new price cap on insulin for folks on Medicare. And then he talked about infrastructure. And once again, turned things around on Republicans because he's been in Congress for decades. He knows what these guys are going to do is vote no, but then try to take credit. And here's what he had to say about infrastructure.
People to work, rebuilding our highways, our bridges, our railroads, our tunnels, ports, airports, clean water, high-speed internet, all across America, urban, rural, tribal. And folks, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. And I mean this sincerely. I want to thank my Republican friends who voted for the law and my Republican friends who voted against it as well. But I still get asked to fund the projects in those districts as well. But don't worry. I promised I'd be a president for all Americans. We'll fund these projects. And I'll see you at the groundbreaking.
This is so good because, you know, and it's already happening, where Republican members of Congress are showing up as part of, you know, the planning for these infrastructure projects. again, in Florida, you have Ron DeSantis and Rick Scott, who have tried telling their constituents about some of the wonderful things coming, you know, as part of this, even though they voted or opposed these very programs. And I really can't say enough about him being willing to call out that hypocrisy. And one final note, he said that the administration is going to do more to make sure that these infrastructure projects have an even greater amount of American-made materials, a cause that has been championed by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin throughout her time in Congress. We'll cover a little bit more about State of the Union and the Republican response, your phone calls, and more coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing trains. Everything happens to me.
Samara Joy won the Grammy for Best New Artist, and we'll play a couple of more Grammy winners today as I try to escape my old man cocoon and open my horizons to some of the Grammy-winning tunes that you might have heard on the show or just from the artists. And I have to admit, I heard some of these and thought I would listen to this more. So why shouldn't I play them here on the radio? President Biden is heading to Madison. He needs to be in Wisconsin today, a state he won by the slimmest of margins in 2020, in order to press his economic message and other themes from the State of the Union address. He is going to appear at a training center run by the Laborers International Union of North America in DeForest. Biden talked about how he says his bipartisan infrastructure plan will create 800,000 good-paying manufacturing jobs across the country, that 800,000 have been created, rather, since 2021. And at the Union Center, the president will meet with workers and apprentices who are learning how to do the jobs that are being created as a result of several pieces of legislation, some of them with Republican support, like the bipartisan infrastructure law. Others, like the Inflation Reduction Act, have a whole host of renewable energy initiatives in there. So you're going to see no shortage of roads, bridges, rural broadband, the semiconductor chip industry in the United States, climate initiatives. So many of these things are going to be a boon for blue-collar jobs, to make the point that it is not necessary to have, say, a four-year bachelor's degree to be part of an information economy in the 21st century, that there is so much to be done in building that economy, as well as, you know, white-collar nerds like me that don't swing a shovel but clickety-click on a keyboard all day long. It takes all of us to grow that economy, and nobody should disrespect the other, blue-collar, white-collar, what have you. And that has been a knock on the Democratic Party for quite some time, that it has somehow forgotten its blue-collar roots. I happen to think that that's garbage, and that it's garbage flung by people who aren't actually looking at the record of who's better for blue-collar households, you know, in the end. But it is worth it. That got passed over the past couple of years. Well, after laying out what was primarily an optimistic version, he wrapped up by saying the State of the Union is strong, to bipartisan applause. We were all feeling good. The country was doing well. And then Republicans put Donald Trump's press secretary on for the Republican response, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Somebody, a self-admitted liar as part of the Mueller investigation, somehow still got to be elected governor of Arkansas last year. And so now, as the Arkansas governor, she was tapped to give the response. She never mentioned Trump by name, which seems rather interesting. But you could tell Trump was right there next to her, as she painted this dystopian portrait of the country and talked all about, you know, President Biden having, you know, woke fantasies, and meanwhile, citizens are under attack more than here. Listen to a little bit of what she had to say.
Most Americans simply want to live their lives in freedom and peace. But we are under attack in a left-wing culture war we didn't start and never wanted to fight.
Oh, good gravy. Really? Who, you didn't start the culture war? Party that ripped away women's healthcare rights? Party that spends more time going after trans kids than actually promoting a solid education? That's where you want to go on this? Because nobody believes you. Nobody outside your base believes you. And truly, for a party that has been playing to a base that is increasingly out of touch with the American mainstream and has lost ground in so many elections, except the ones where they've been able to rig the maps, it really is far past time for the Republican Party to move past the darkness of Donald Trump and Sarah Huckabee Sanders and folks like that. It's time for the party to stop protecting children like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and the others who were for jeering, loudly jeering, something that would have been unheard of earlier in our lifetime, but is now treated as just another reality TV spectacle. It's a party that needs to move on from quote unquote George Santos or whatever his name is. Say what you will about Mitt Romney. I certainly didn't support him when he was running for president, but I admired what he had done for the Salt Lake City Olympics. And he has certainly, you know, done well for himself in so many other areas. And he did it again last night. While the Utah senator was coming down the center aisle as senators were coming into the House chamber, Romney noticed who was right there among the House members on that center aisle where they could theoretically shake the president's hand when he would come into the chamber a few minutes later. And that would be the New York freshman congressman, George Santos, who is who really is giving Sarah Huckabee Sanders a run for her money in number of lies told per capita, you know, per minute of the day. Mitt Romney thought that that was unseemly, that person would be emblematic of the Republican Party in the center aisle shaking the president's hand. And Romney said to him in so many words, "You're an embarrassment. You don't belong here." And Santos, of course, you know, exchanged some words. And then Santos, you know, again, joining Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden in the category of, you know, who can put up the most juvenile posts on social media, puts up something about how, well, Mitt Romney will never be president. I mean, that's his big comeback. But the fact that a guy like George Santos with no moral compass can even have the opportunity to make a comeback while still a member of Congress is the thing that is particularly telling about the Republican Party, at least at the national level, that this is a group that will protect people who are jeering and catcalling and, you know, yelling to a president of the United States. And people say, well, you guys, you know, you hated Trump too. Yeah. And to the extent that it happened at the State of the Union, Speaker Nancy Pelosi tore the president's speech, her copy of it, in half at the end of the remarks to make the very silent statement of what she thought of it. And that's how you do it, rather than trying to turn the House of Representatives chamber into a circus. But then again, there are some people who were doing that jeering last night who were very happy when the House chamber became like a circus on January 6th, 2021. Their record already shows what they would like to see this government, you know, denigrate into. And it is, it's frustrating. It's something where, again, there are enough pockets of support that they win enough seats to either be a formidable presence or even a majority in places. But when you look again and again and again at how this country is measured nationally and in terms of national elections and in national surveys, they are wildly out of touch these Republicans, these folks on the far right wing who have disproportionate power thanks to a U.S. Senate, which by its very nature is gerrymandered, and certainly by, you know, political shenanigans on the House side. They're there and they're loud and they have a large media network. And it's all reflected in polling that indicated before the speech that some 60% of Americans thought that President Biden hadn't accomplished very much in office up to this point. Even though, again, the most successful legislative agenda in the first 2 years of any president and an economic rebound, unlike any other administration. But again, when all you're hearing is the noise of criticism, especially when it's not rooted in reality so they can say whatever they want, it's no wonder more people would think, well, that must be the case if we're hearing it more often, which is why places like Civic Media and Up North News are here to finally correct the record. And we'll continue to do so. We'll follow the president's visit to Madison today. Now, again, there were no big announcements in the speech last night, so I'm not necessarily expecting any big announcements today. The president knows that, you know, with Congress divided, there isn't really going to be a legislative agenda for these next 2 years. It's all positioning for 2024. And that is just damn sad, because I have always said there is plenty of time in the even numbered years. There's 365 days there where you can fight about politics all you want. But the odd numbered years have 365 days as well. And why wouldn't you use that time to try to be productive, to try to reach compromises, to try to engage in service rather than politics? But this is the foolishness that we've come to expect. So the president didn't lay out any big announcements. There may not be any in Madison today, but we're going to monitor just the same. And then we're going to pivot to something else that is almost as ridiculous, Aaron, and that would be your buddy with the namesake, name and birthday, the Packer quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who says that to figure out where he's going to go next in life, he's going to spend 4 days and nights isolated in a completely dark room as some kind of a therapy session, which I guess you could do there if you turn the lights off in the control booth. You know, but otherwise, why would you do that?
Whoop-de-doo.
It's, you know, it's the quotes. I think that his single biggest mistake as a quarterback, as a player, was to sign this agreement to appear on this Pat McAfee show on a regular basis, because it's where he always shows why some people say, why just shut up and play, even though I don't necessarily subscribe to that. But when you hear the stuff that comes out of him, where he talks about, I'm going to take my isolation retreat and contemplate all things my future and then make a decision I feel that is best for me moving forward in the highest interest of my happiness, and then move forward. And he talks about this darkness retreat being a profound experience, and he's looking forward to the isolation. He says you can wear adult diapers if you want, but there's actually a bathroom in there. And then you come out on the last day after the fourth night, and there's no music or anything. There's just complete isolation. And I'm not scared. I'm looking forward to this as much as anything I've done. And I guess that's when he's going to decide whether he plays another season with the Packers.
Setting yourself up for that much silence and isolation seems potentially dangerous to your psyche. Like, they have rooms that are completely silent, like oppressively so. And usually you can only have people in there for like an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read about that there are these rooms. There's also these places called libraries where you could just sit in silence for as long as you want. Well, at least until closing time, and then take a little break, go to the bathroom for God's sake, and then go home and, you know, again, sit in a dark room if you want to. I've been known to do that. I'll sit in a dark room with a glass of bourbon and a fireplace. That's actually not a bad deal now and then, but I don't want to sit there for 4 days and four nights contemplating my future. I want some human interaction. I want to be able to bounce ideas off of someone trusted, who's going to say to me, have you thought this through? Aaron Rodgers is not going to get that. He's only going to hear himself. I mean, it is almost literally the definition of reading too much of your own press clippings. It's going to be all about him and nobody saying, well, what about this? And what about that? So while I admire him wanting to take some time to think, he's well compensated. He can go anywhere in the world he wants to. He can think any place he wants. You don't have to tell us about it. Just make a decision already and, you know, vaya con Dios at that point. Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR should be joining us next for this day in history and a little music break when we come back here on Up North News Radio.
To me.
Don't you tell me you don't get chills still when you hear that. And you can't hear a symphony doing that, in this case, the London Symphony, without thinking of John Williams. And he kicks off today in history in our little music break. Composer John Williams is 91 years old today. We are joined, as always, on Wednesdays by Melissa Kay of locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Pat?
Great. So nice to have you here. And we're going to talk about things that are happening there right after we go through some of today's almanac. And I would imagine now, John Williams, we're going to list them all off. So I'm kind of asking you blindly. But apart from Star Wars there, is there anything in particular that you think of with John Williams, a particular movie theme or anything like that?
I didn't know that was the name of the composer.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head.
You know, this sounds like the kind of thing that should be in a director's cut show that we're going to talk about.
That would be great. But I looked him up, and Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park are two of my favorite movies, and I love the soundtracks from those.
There you go. And, he started with Jaws and the theme from Superman. But there's one more clip I actually want to play. This was when a TV network came to him in 1985, and the suite of music that from the orchestra that he gave them was so good that it is still in use some 40 years later. And here's just a little sample of it. A lot of folks think, by the way, that's the name of that is The Mission, and it is a long symphonic piece with various portions that are then used as the nightly news theme, the Today Show theme, Meet the Press theme. I'm totally blown away that that John Williams or any composer would come up with an entire suite of music like that. And like I said, it's so good they're still using it all these years later. Did you have any idea?
Nope.
Melissa, that was the origin of it. It's still, I find very surprising. And granted, I worked at an NBC station for many, many years, but folks, go look it up and listen to it as a full suite and you'll go, All right. Let's get more into kind of pop tunes here.
Although,
1956.
Don't forget the Olympics theme either.
Oh, of course. The Olympics, the modern day one. He did that
good
one too.
Aaron.
Wow, there's so much here. This day in 1956, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers hit the charts with this hit. My dad was big into 50s doo-wop. I'm not the world's biggest doo-wop fan, but there's some like that. I mean, that one, how will you not listen and tap your toes to that one, right?
Right. It just makes you want to dance.
It does. Yeah. It's just a happy tune. We're not going to play a tune from the Quarrymen, but we're going to note that on this day in 1958, a little band in Liverpool known as the Quarrymen, two of their members were Paul McCartney and John Lennon. They were performing at a bar or at Wilson Hall there when Paul introduced John to a friend of his named George Harrison, and that got the three of them together. Ringo would join later, but today is the anniversary of a rather seminal moment in Beatles history. Let's do some birthdays. Where do you stand, Melissa, on Motley Crue?
Ambivalent.
Good. I have a friend. All right. A fellow ambivalent friend. This is a little bit of Dr. Feelgood for Vince Neil's 62nd birthday. It always throws me off when we have Joe Zepecki on, because I ask him what he wants for walk-up music, and he just says anything like that, metal, something to really wake him up. And I can totally see how that would work for some folks.
Yes.
Maybe not so much for me. Ted Koppel is 83 today. Actor Nick Nolte is 82. Mary Steenburgen is 70. I just saw her on TV the other day in Step Brothers. Author John Grisham is 68. And Cecily Strong, who just left Saturday Night Live after many years and is now on a Verizon commercial that plays on a loop endlessly, it seems. Cecily Strong is 39 today. Melissa, do you know the lyrics to the Kingsman song, Louie Louie?
Louie Louie. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can sing along with it.
Oh, can you, though? Okay, that part we get. But then the lyrics somewhere in the middle are basically indecipherable. And so the rumor went around that the lyrics were actually obscene, and the FBI started to investigate because of complaints about obscene lyrics on the radio. On this day in 1964, the song publisher of Louie Louie offered $1,000 to anyone who can definitively distinguish the dirty words, because they're not there. The singer was intentionally mumbling some of the words. They're not dirty. They're not even words. I just think that's so great.
That's awesome.
There are a couple of Grammy anniversaries. I think we're just going to mention these really briefly. At age 16, Katy Perry, on this day in 2001, released her self-titled debut gospel album under her birth name, Katie Hudson. On this day in 2004, Pink won the Grammy for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance for Trouble. And on this day in 2015, Sam Smith won 3 Grammys, Best New Artist, Record of the Year, Song of the Year with Stay With Me. And of course, he won at least 1 Grammy over the weekend as well. Melissa, we were talking about what's happening in Wisconsin Rapids, and I alluded to something called the Director's Cut Show. What's that all about?
So this is a newer show that James Maloff and Seth Habhegger have been working on, and it's been getting rave reviews. They've done several editions of this. This is a show that runs on Sunday nights, and it features local artists, local musicians, theater groups. This next show that they're working on, they're going to have a couple of local poets that they're going to be talking to. It's a great show. So a while back, we did a little radio drama just for fun here. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gotten to go back to listen to the director's cut of this, because it plays after I go to bed, because I'm an okay. I'm early to bed. But I'm excited to go back and listen to that one to see what they did with it, because it's just a 10-minute little radio drama that we did here in the studio. And I got to have fun producing that one.
Very nice. And by the way, Director's Cut, one of the many shows that air on a weekly, not a daily basis. But like all the shows, if you go to civicmedia.us and then go to the shows page, you will find Director's Cut there, along with a listing of all the past episodes. And we only got a couple of seconds here, but somehow, Melissa, you're going to tell me why you went to Milwaukee to a Porsche dealer to get a Nissan truck. That is some serious truck shopping.
Well, you know, my boyfriend's pretty amazing when it comes to finding good deals, and he's been looking for a vehicle for a while, found one. It was still there for, 2 weeks, but who goes to a Nissan dealership or to a Porsche dealership for Nissan? So
your boyfriend for a good price. Good
so
for him.
We drove down there, nabbed it up, and it was a long day, but it was worth it.
That's so awesome. Melissa Kay, always great to see you. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Well, more in our next hour on Up North News Radio.